more. Our podcast highlights heroes for girls. Positive role models, women they can look up to. Let's empower the next generation of girls to serve their unique purpose. Show young women what's possible. Inspire them to lead, influence, and make a difference. Prepare them for leadership and to impact this world for good. So are you ready? It's okay. Hey everybody, we've got Lisa Turkhurst on the show today, but before we get started, want to remind you, if you have not yet subscribed to the Heroes for Her podcast, new episodes release every Thursday, so get over to accessmore.com and get yourself plugged in for life and leadership and all the things we need as women. That's the best place to do that. So we're going to jump right into today's episode. It is my pleasure to welcome number one New York Times bestselling author and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, Lisa Turkhurst. Lisa, welcome. I'm so glad you're with us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
So I'm really excited that you're here to talk through a topic that is so difficult for girls and women, I think, no matter what our age or stage, and that is forgiveness. The idea of actually being able to do what God has done for all of us, being able to process when we've been hurt and come to a place where we can truly extend grace to somebody else. This last season for you, I know, has been one where God has really shown you what it means to forgive and whether it's really even possible to forgive and forget when someone has wronged you. So will you just dive in, give everybody the backstory for what you've worked through that has led to you digging deeper into what forgiveness even is and how exactly to achieve it, even when the situation seems totally impossible?
Well, thank you so much for asking me. I think that anytime we are talking about forgiveness, it's so complicated because it's often attached to some deep hurt or wounding that we've experienced with another person. So I often don't even want to dive into forgiveness until we acknowledge the pain that people have been in. And I think one of the best things that my counselor did for me was to say that he wanted me to tell him every bit of pain that I was feeling inside of my heart. And so he handed me the stack of 3x5 cards and I wrote my pain out. And there were a lot of cards because there was a lot of pain. And I remember when I wrote the last card out and I looked over at him, it was so powerful for him to just stand there and bear witness to the pain that I had experienced and for him to say to me, I believe you. I believe every bit of how you say you were hurt actually happened and it was wrong and you should not have had to go through this. And so I just want to do that for a listener today right off the bat and just say, I'm so sorry for whatever happened to you, that when you hear the word forgiveness, that you kind of want to push away and you just think, it's too soon to forgive until one day you wake up and say it's too late to forgive. And forgiveness is complicated and it's hard. So I just want to say, I acknowledge your pain. I believe you. I'm sorry for what they did to you. I'm sorry they didn't think of you more or they thought of you too less. I don't know the circumstance, but what I can say is your pain is real and it's worth being tended to. But I can also say that you deserve to stop suffering because of what other people have done to you. So I think now we can start a conversation about forgiveness.
What did it mean to you? You know, you're in the office working through this with a counselor, which, and a lot of us don't have that person, right? Or we haven't been able to take that step. Maybe we don't have the resources to get in front of somebody who's objective, who has the strategies, who has the knowledge about how to process these things in a healthy way. What did it mean to you to sit down with somebody who really understood how to work you through the process so that you could grieve the relationship, work your way through it in a way that was healthy and productive versus just trying to do it on your own in your own strength, which is what I think so many women do.
Well, that's part of the reason why I was so passionate about writing this book. You know, I spent over 1,000 hours from a theological standpoint studying forgiveness, but the book isn't just a Bible lesson on forgiveness. It really marries together a therapeutic approach to tending to our hurt really well with the theology together. And I think it becomes a very well-rounded resource that even if you don't have a counselor, this book will walk you through that process step by step by step. Because I know when hurt sits unattended in the human heart too long, it has such a propensity to turn into hate. And often our deep hurt feelings don't want to cooperate with holy instructions. And that resistance can be so hard to overcome. So that's why in the book, I really walk you through the resistance at first and say to you, this is normal. There is nothing wrong with your resistance. But I want to show you what to do with it so that this hurt can eventually work for you rather than against you. Because when someone hurts you, you don't want to get wounded twice because you were hurt and now you're living hurt. It is possible for us to feel hurt, but not live that hurt out the rest of our life.
Gosh, that's so good. And it makes me think of my own daughter and just the struggle that they have, you know, got daughters holding on when they're, you know, they're hit with something or somebody's wronged them or, you know, something hasn't gone their way and they have trouble and they hang on to those feelings. But what you said about hurt turning into hate really resonates. And I know you say in the book that forgiveness is more satisfying than revenge. And I think in our flesh and in our sin, we, you know, if we let it go there, then it's easy to seek revenge. Like that would feel good. But I'm wondering if you would unpack that statement. How have you learned, how has God shown you that forgiveness can actually be more satisfying than seeking revenge or seeking like to you know, turn that hurt and reciprocate that hurt to somebody else? That's a hard statement to reconcile.
It is. Well, I'm going to give you a little math equation. So using words, okay? So hurt person hurts another person. So you've got two hurt people. And then this hurt person retaliates, creating more hurt in this person, which then creates more hurt in this person, which then creates more hurt in this person. And so revenge never leads to anything good. And we think that revenge will feel satisfying because it feels like we've righted the scales of justice. You caused me to suffer, I'll cause you to suffer. And that somehow is going to equal out, but it never does. All it does is turn me into someone I don't want to be when I take revenge. To me, taking revenge is me signing up to compound the hurt, not only in my life, but their life as well. So, you know, when I started to really think about this, whenever I hurt someone or whenever I sin, there are consequences built into those actions that negatively jar me, that eventually makes me recognize I never do something wrong and don't suffer consequences for it. It may not be immediate, it may be eventual, but eventually the consequences are built into that wrong action. But I forget that that's true for other people too. And so sometimes when people hurt me and I don't see the consequences of their choices being present in their life, I feel like I need to step in and create consequences for them so that they won't hurt me that way again, or that they won't hurt other people that way again, right? But I'm not powerful enough to reach down into their soul and teach them the lessons that they learn. If I take revenge on them, that's just proving to them I deserved the hurt that they originally unleashed on me. And it just sets off this terrible cycle and turns us both into people we don't want to be. So God says, give that person over to me. It is mine to avenge. So we just have to trust that God will do what God says he's going to do. And I know God will address this in equal measures of mercy and justice. And God tells us that he will teach them the lesson they need to learn. We don't have to see it. That person may never let us see it. But we can believe it because we trust that what God says is true. And I believe it is. And I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus instructs us to pray for our enemies. Because our enemies, if they're an enemy, they've done something to unleash some kind of hurt in the world. And when you unleash hurt into the world, you yourself suffer consequences. And I think Jesus is reminding us, pray for them, because you don't even know how many consequences they've unleashed upon themselves. And if you could see it, you would want to pray for them.
Gosh, it's so interesting you unpacking that, because you never think about it from that perspective. You never sit on the other side going, okay, God's doing a work in their life. He's taking them on a journey. He wants to show them something. He's going to right this wrong in the way that he sees fit. I trust him to do that in my own life. But then for whatever reason, like the outpouring, like the other people that I'm interacting with, it's really hard to see what God's doing. And we always want it done to our satisfaction, I think. In the book, you talk about you decided to pursue forgiveness at a very surprising point in your journey. There was sort of a moment that you hit that drove you to like actively pursue forgiveness instead of just like sitting in what was happening to you. So in like a reactive way. So will you talk a little bit about that decision that you made to pursue forgiveness right when you did? Because I know it was an important part of that journey.
Well, forgiveness felt like an unreasonable step to take at that point because I wasn't sure how my story was going to turn out. My husband had been unfaithful, and at that point, he wasn't saying he wanted to come back home, but he was willing to do counseling. So I kept having these fits of, you know, if we get back together, I need to heal this direction. If we don't get back together, I need to heal this direction. And ultimately, I wasn't sure that forgiveness was possible at that point because he wasn't saying he was sorry. And I felt like that was a requirement. Like, you need to say you're sorry before I say I forgive you. But ultimately, my resistance to forgiveness came down to the fact that I was still hurting. And I felt like my feelings needed to be in a better place before I could take this step of forgiveness, because I didn't want to feel like I was just faking my way through this. But what my counselor helped me see is that hurt feelings don't often want to sign up for holy instructions. And if I wait for my feelings to sign on to this, my feelings may never sign on to this. So also, I couldn't wait for that epic conversation where the person who hurt me says, I was wrong and I'm sorry. That conversation may never happen. And if it doesn't, and I attach my ability to heal on a choice that another person needs to make to say they're sorry or to admit that they're wrong, then I am letting the person who hurt me hold my healing hostage by choices that they may never be willing to make. And the only way to sever that source of suffering is to detach my ability to heal from their choices and put it squarely on my own choices. And forgiveness is not so much a gift that we give to the other person as it is the process that God has provided for us to keep our hearts swept clean and for us to move forward in healthy ways. And when I realized all of that, I felt empowered to forgive. I didn't feel guilted into forgiving. I felt empowered that, wow, it was not my choice to get hurt, but it is my choice to be able to heal and move forward. And so when I felt that much empowerment, I wanted to make this choice for me. And when I said that statement of forgiveness, I had a very marked moment. And the statement was, I'm choosing to forgive this person for this particular hurt that they've caused me. And whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover it. In other words, forgiveness is not something we muster up inside of ourselves. Forgiveness comes from God first. And when we finally admit we need forgiveness for whatever we have done that we've never confessed, we confess to God and his forgiveness flows to us, then we cooperate with it and let his forgiveness flow through us. So it's okay if our feelings haven't signed on to this, because what we're saying is it is made possible, not because I feel it, but because God has already given it. And as I let God's forgiveness flow to me, I must let it flow through me, because the heavy weight of forgiveness flowing to me and refusing to let it flow through me, that weight of unforgiveness is a burden too heavy for the human heart to bear.
Hey everybody, quick announcement. It is officially here. Ringleaders, the brand new Bible Bells book, is available for purchase. You can follow Rini Cruz on her latest adventure to learn about the awesome women of the New Testament and the story of Jesus. And it'll give you a chance to show your little girl the importance of sharing the gospel through her life and leadership. Super excited for this new book. Go to BibleBells.com/ring to get signed up for our email. And that will be where you can get early access to this book before it sells out. Go sign up, BibleBells.com/ring. It's so, when you paint that picture of it coming down from God the Father through Jesus and it needing to flow out of us, and when it doesn't, it's that burden that we carry. I mean, we know, we can all think of those moments in the past and even now probably that are heavy on our hearts. There's something that is weighing us down. I'm wondering, so you obviously, you dug into scripture, you're going through counseling and you're getting practical, advice from a biological standpoint, from a being healthy as a human standpoint, in a worldly way. But I'm wondering, as you research scripture, you're poring over the stories of God's word, you're seeking and praying him in this season, what part did scripture play in affirming what your counselor was telling you, what you started to feel regarding forgiveness? Like, were there verses that spoke to you? Was there a specific story or a set of stories? I'm wondering, like, how God confirmed those feelings and those actions of forgiveness along the way for you through his word.
Well, there were so many that meant so much to me. And in the back of the book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, I have an entire resource in the back pages of the book about what the Bible says and does not say about forgiveness. I think it'll be a great resource people can turn to over and over and over, especially people who have been in abusive situations and they feel like forgiveness is almost giving permission to that abuser to hurt them again. And so that's why it was really important that I have a chapter on boundaries, that, while forgiveness is a command by God, reconciliation is dependent on so many things. And it does not mean that we stay in an abusive situation or a situation that's hurt. Allowing that other person to abuse us, that's not forgiving. Forgiving is saying, I love myself enough to want to heal, but I love you enough not to enable behavior that you should not be participating in. And so I think the book becomes a real well-rounded resource for people in that way who are in complicated situations. And I really go there because I think it's important. But one of my favorite passages of scripture that really meant so much to me was, believe it or not, it's the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord is asked the question, how do we pray? And he said, this is then how you should pray. And he establishes who God is at the beginning of the prayer. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. But after that, the rest of the prayer is about confession and forgiveness and not being tempted by the evil one. And I thought, wow, if I was given the job today, the assignment, go write the prayer that when people say, how do we pray? This is the answer. This is a huge assignment. And Jesus knows how desperately the human heart needs confession and forgiveness, that he tucked it into a daily prayer that we pray. Because confession quiets the chaos inside of me. Forgiveness quiets the chaos between you and me. And it's not just for the hard and horrific things in life. Forgiveness is supposed to be as much a part of our daily process as eating, breathing, sleeping, and forgiveness. I mean, it's essential for life. And when I realized that, it was like mind blown, that I think forgiveness is supposed to be so much a part of our life that we say to ourselves, the very best time to forgive is before we're ever offended. The next best time is right now. In other words, can you imagine how different this world would be if all of us really got up, intended well to our hearts, and we were so in tune with this beautiful gift of forgiveness that God has given us? I mean, he sent Jesus, his son, for the sake of forgiveness, right? It's amazing. So if we were so in tune with forgiveness that we woke up every day and we decided to pre-forgive the offenses that were going to come our way that day, like we were already sending forgiveness ahead into our day, so that when we walk into a situation where someone bumps into our happy, we can say, you know what? I have traded all that drama that I used to get sucked into. I have traded all that drama for an upgrade. And I have already forgiven you this morning. I'm not saying what you did was right, but what I am saying is I'm not going to create another wrong by having a poor reaction to the offense at hand. And just because you lay something down, an offense, does not mean I need to pick it up and carry it into my day and multiply it in other people's lives because you offended me and now I'm going to offend 10 other people. And I think this is such a tactic of the enemy to make us feel like if we feel offended, we have to live offended. And that's just not true. We can be the kind of person who sends forgiveness ahead and walk into the kind of peace that Jesus has promised that the world can never give us, but we can be a conduit of peace into every atmosphere that we walk in. Is it easy? No. Do I fail at this every day? 100%. But am I getting better with this? Yeah, I am.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, there's so much wisdom in what you just said, but I love that you're sending forgiveness ahead, being proactive about the things that have not yet occurred as a way to tend well to your heart. I mean, for every adult woman listening who is mentoring your own daughter or the girls that you're leading, this is a word for you. And I'm going to encourage you to implement some of these things because it's so powerful. Lisa, I know we're running out of time, but I have to ask. So obviously, you know, working through forgiveness during a hard season when you're going through something so painful, so, you know, suffering and coming out the other side of it, what has this looked like for your other relationships inside your family, with your daughters, with your grandkids? I mean, obviously these practical approaches and the way that you're approaching forgiveness is probably trickling down, and that sounds a little more, you know, reactive as a result of just how I'm living differently. But knowing you, I know you're very intentional about these other relationships. So I'm wondering if you would just speak to those other relationships, you as a mom, you as a grandmother, how are you taking what you're learning about forgiveness, what you're teaching through this book, and allowing it to inform how you approach those other important relationships?
Well, I think there was a mistake that I made when my kids were little, because I thought to be a good Christian mom, when my kids would say, I'm mad, or I'm really sad, I would feel the need to have this little pep rally, like, no, we're not mad. We are grateful. No, we're not sad. You know, we are going to intentionally turn all those sad feelings into glad feelings, you know? And it's not that my heart was bad. My heart was good in it. But I think it was a mistake, because it was basically saying to my kids that there are certain feelings we are not allowed to have. But the reality is they were having those feelings. And the reality is I have those feelings. So I think it's been really important for me to help my adult kids understand that feelings are great indicators. They are great indicators that something needs to be addressed. So we don't want to deny our feelings. We don't want to stuff our feelings. We don't want to pretend that we're not feeling what we're really feeling. But while feelings are great indicators that something needs to be addressed, feelings should never be dictators how we act and react. And so I think having a balanced approach that let our feelings tell us what needs to be tended to, and then let's tend to it really well. Let's have the conversations about, hey, when you did this, this is what caused this emotion to bring up in me, and I think we need to talk about it. And it's also allowed not only open conversations, but it's also given us permission in our family to draw boundaries, not to shove other people away, but to help hold me together, you know, and to recognize that all families have kind of this thread of dysfunction that's going to run through it. You don't throw a bunch of humans together and expect perfection. If you do, you're going to be really disappointed. And even the most biblical families had dysfunction all up in there, right? And so just because we have some dysfunctional dances happening in our relationships, it doesn't mean that we're not a biblical family. What it does mean is that we need to be responsible to deal with the hurt at hand, because when hurt sits inside the human heart unattended too long, it does have a propensity to turn into hate. So our responsibility is to let our feelings indicate what needs to be addressed, to address it, to walk through it, to be honest, and then to move on into healing and forgiveness and confession and the other practices that the Bible provides a way for us to walk into healing.
So good, Lisa. I know people are going to want to dig in deeper. We're going to have to call it a day, though. We ran out of time. I could talk to you about this literally forever, but I'm so excited that you were here to share all of this, share your heart around forgiveness, and talk about this new book. Will you let everybody know, just as we wrap up, the best place to connect with you online, grab their copy, and work through these topics together with you?
So you can follow me on Instagram at Lisa Turkhurst, and my name is spelled kind of weird, at L-Y-S-A. You can just type it in and hopefully Lisa Turkhurst will come up. Make sure it's not a fake account. I do have a blue check mark next to my name, so that'll help you out. Or if you want information about the book and some of the additional resources that we've created, we have a Bible study, a DVD that will help you. We also have a journal that has an additional 30,000 words in it that will be like a counselor in a book that you can walk through. It'll be so helpful. And then, of course, the book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. You can go to the website, forgivingwhatyoucan'tforget.com, and find out more. And also, the book is available wherever books are sold.
So excited you were here, Lisa. Thank you again for sharing. It's been awesome having you here.
Thank you. It's been a joy to spend some time with you this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks again.